Still half a minute to go in the man advantage. Edler dumps the puck in. Seabrook is back. Up the boards. Aaron couldn't quite hold the line. Here comes Patrick Sharp with Versteen. Sharp, backhand, scores! Big time goal from Patrick Sharp.
Seabrook near corner. He'll lift it through the air and down toward the Red Wing blue line. Seabrook on the Red Wing line, should he score! Hawks win on a Seabrook overtime goal! Serve up the calamari!
Kane behind the net now with a puck. Carries around to the right wing boards to the line. Seabrook with a drive, he scores! 1 minute into triple overtime! It's Seabrook with a bomb from the blue line!
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of Our Line Starts, fueled by Dunkin', and we are fueled by a combined 6 Stanley Cup championships on this week's episode. We welcome in our special guest, Brent Seabrook, recently retired of the longtime Chicago Blackhawks and spending all of his time there along with our teammate now, Patrick Sharp. Hey, guys, good to have you both on here with us.
How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Brent,
see,
welcome.
It's good to have you on,
yeah.
Man. I didn't think I'd see you again after you announced retirement, but thanks for coming on.
This is my last one I got to do, so I'm excited to be on it, and looking forward to talking some hockey.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Yeah, Brent, before we talk some hockey, I want to talk some retirement with you. I mean, what's it been like for you since you announced your retirement and how life has kind of settled in for you in your new, you know, no more hockey?
Yeah, it's been different. Getting home and seeing the family was big for me. They stayed up here in Canada, so it was a tough couple months, and I know a lot of guys throughout the league are doing different things, but I think that was the big thing was spending time with my teammates there in Chicago and doing that. They left for the road and ended up coming home, so it's been good being back and seeing everybody and being a dad again. So
yeah, KT, Siebes was in Chicago living with Kirby this whole season, trying to get back and give it one last kick at the can. And his family was at home. Siebes, I didn't think you mentioned your family. You got the wife, you got 3 kids. How many dogs you got now? 4 dogs at home?
Yeah, we got 4. Yeah, we got quite the crew here. My wife was, she was grinding. She was a big help and keeping everything together at home here. So it was good.
I teased Sharpie on the air, Brent. Found it very ironic that he ends up going to Chicago for the first time in a long time to broadcast his first game in the booth with Pat Foley. And 2 days prior, you announced your retirement. So I thought, gee, did this sync up nicely for Patrick Sharp to make his return to Chicago and hang out with his buddy?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was a good time. I got to see him a little bit. And we were reminiscing and sharing some old war stories and talking hockey. So it was fun.
Looking forward to sharing some of those stories today. Brent, at what point did you realize that it was time? You know, you've battled so many injuries over the course of your career. I know this season you were given it your best shot to come back. What was the turning point for you when you ultimately realized it's time to hang them up?
It was sort of a, I tried to just focus on getting back and playing and I was skating with a skating coach there and trying to get better. And I think the natural progression for me was to get out there with some guys and keep up and try and get into some drills and some things like that. And that's really when I noticed that it wasn't going to allow me to play anymore. I think, my mind's still there. I still know how to play defense. Positioning, I've got that figured out over my career, but my body just wasn't going to allow me to move the way I needed to move and keep up with how fast these guys are now. That was, I don't even know, a week, I guess, before the announcement came out. I skated on a Saturday and Mark Crawford had the taxi squad out there and we were skating and I just was difficult and that was sort of that night talking to the doctors and and whatnot, he mentioned that it was going to be, you know, he probably thought it was going to be like that a month before, but you know, for me and for the rest of my life, I needed to give it one last shot and really give it a crack. And I did that. So, you know, I'm proud of that and excited for the next chapter.
Speaking of that next chapter, I mean, a lot of people want to know kind of where we're going to see you again, what your plans are now. Are you going to take a little time off to be with the family and then make a decision on what you want to do? Or do you just, you know, do you have you given it much thought as to what life looks like now moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, I've been thinking about a lot of different things. I don't really know. I haven't really put my finger on it, but I love hockey and I love being around the team atmosphere. So I could see myself jumping back in, you know, at some capacity. But like you said, I mean, I'm just going to try and enjoy my family, be a dad, coach the kids. I don't know. My wife was saying I could be the soccer coach. I don't know how to coach soccer, but my 5-6-year-old girls there, they can, I'm sure they don't need, I'm not coaching the World Cup or anything like that. So it'd probably be pretty easy to throw a ball out there and get them running around and having fun. So, I don't know. I just want to be a dad and be back here and have some fun, and that stuff will come out in the wash for sure.
No contact in soccer though. When you're teaching the kids, they're not allowed to hit. No cold shoulders that you used to do. Patrolling the blue line out there.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to teach them how to kick their head back and lay on the ground for a bit. I don't know how to do that. So.
Any interest in dabbling into broadcasting, Brent? We know another former Hawk who happens to do a pretty darn good job at it. Maybe it's in the water there in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know. I watching you guys, it's pretty cool. I feel like, I don't know if I could get into that, but yeah, I mean, I'm open to whatever and talking hockey. I like talking hockey and I like being around it. So I don't know.
The best part about being a broadcaster, Biscuits, is whenever there's a down night in the NHL, we just fire up some old Blackhawks highlights. We find a weird stat that somehow I'm in like the top five in, and we run that. Right, KT?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, no, I've seen it. Some of those stats you guys talk about, I've never even heard of those things before.
So. We never have either. Patrick Sharp brings that to the production meeting. He's like, here's where I'm relevant from 10 years ago. So we need to incorporate this in the broadcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, wait, I got a question though, because I just heard Sharpie say Biscuits. Where did that nickname come from? Sharpie, I don't know which one of you wants to share that story, but I feel like that might be a good one.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where it came from. I'm guessing it came from Dunks. You know, Siebes had a couple of roommates over the years at his place in Chicago, all rookies too. Duncan Keith, when he was a rookie, lived with Siebes. Jonathan Taves, before he moved out onto his own to be the Captain Sirius, he was living with Siebes as well. And then just this past year, Kirby Doc was living with him as a rookie. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was Dunks that gave you the name, Mr. Biscuits. It has to be, right?
I heard the story about it was a scout back when I was drafted is what I heard. And they told our scout, you know, have fun riding Seabiscuit into training camp or something like that. And then it turned into, I was a bigger kid, chubby and all that when I was drafted. And then I think it was, I don't even know how it kept coming out. And then it's evolved, you know, what did Dunk say? He was going to get a hamster and just keep feeding it and call it Mr. Biscuits. And then it was Seabiscuit. You know, it just sort of evolved into, you know, I guess what hockey players do, they find a nickname and then it's, you know, it evolves over time. But yeah,
that's just like you called Johnny Captain Sirius. Didn't you come up with that name?
Yeah, it was Mr. Sirius because he was cranky one day at the house and I chirped him or whatever. And then that came to the rink. And then he was the captain. So then it turned into Captain Sirius. And then it was, and then everybody sort of rolled with it. And then it was his, I don't even know if it still is people call him that, but it was a nickname there for a while.
I don't think he likes it very much though. He's past that, right? It's like Sid the Kid. He's no longer allowed to be called Sid the Kid. I didn't have KT until I started broadcasting hockey. And now my family members are calling me KT. I'm like, this is weird. My colleagues came up with this nickname. Not you guys. It must be a hockey thing. Everything's got to be a nickname. You know, I'm curious, Brent, what it's been like for you. Has it been hard to kind of tune into the games? Do you miss the game now that you're retired?
Yeah, I do miss the game. I'm tuning in here at the house. I've been watching all the games since, you know, I had surgery a year and a half ago, and I like watching the boys play, and I think they're playing great. So it's fun to watch, I've been home and the game started at 4 o'clock here because we're on the West Coast. So that's been a little difficult with kids running around and doing what they're doing, but I'm tuning in and watching the games and checking in on the guys.
It's been a weird season given the alignment, given the brevity of the games played this year, and everything just seems to be evolving together. A lot of teams are taking breaks due to whatever it may be, COVID outbreaks, or perhaps in Dallas, we've had significant weather delay some of the games. What are your impressions so far of the season? Because one team we've been talking about every single week, it seems like, as the biggest surprise are the Chicago Blackhawks and where they're at. Brent, you know, seeing all encompassing the divisions and also the teams, what's been your biggest surprise?
I don't know if I'm really surprised. I think Jeremy and Stan have done a good job putting a team together, and Jeremy's doing a good job getting guys to fall in line and play as a team. I think the guys are playing well. I think we have some young guys that are stepping up in Chicago and playing great. The goaltending's been outstanding. Subi and Lanky have been great and fun to watch, and Kaner's doing his thing, and Dunk's I don't think he's looked better, in a long time. So he's playing great, and they're sort of leading the charge with those young guys. It's just been fun to watch. But watching the games in Chicago, they put us in a box, and they've got all these areas where you can go and you can't go, and you have to have a badge on or a whatever it's called. And just watching the games is totally different without fans. I think, I wasn't able to play in any games in this new structure, but the fans are what make the game great, and the emotion and what they bring and you see the guys celebrating and bringing their own emotion if they score, but it's nothing like having 22,000 people at the United Center roaring and cheering and just bringing that energy. And I think that's the weirdest thing for me that I've noticed throughout the season so far.
Especially at the United Center too. Our building's so big there in Chicago. It's awesome when it's filled with all those red jerseys, but these last few months of watching hockey, man, it's got to be one of the quietest, emptiest feelings playing on that ice. Siebes, I want to ask you, it's tough to compare the teams, but you are obviously a huge centerpiece of what we did in Chicago, and there's not three banners at the United Center without number seven, patrolling the ice and the locker room and all that stuff. But do you see any similarities with this young version of the Hawks that's looking to build towards the playoffs, build towards winning rounds, compared to what we had there for a while?
I think the similarity I would bring into it is how we were in 2008 and 2009, having a lot of young guys growing together as a group. We sort of had that feeling, right? In 2008, when we missed the playoffs by 3 points, and then going into the next season, going to the third round of the playoffs. I remember I was talking about this the other day, like that was probably when we really knew it. But I mean, I don't know if there was a sad guy in that locker room that we lost to Detroit, it stung right when we lost, but we were excited to be in the playoffs. I remember walking around and hanging out, and we were going out after having some beers and enjoying Chicago. And I remember talking with the guys about, we got to get back and do this again. Like it gave us that extra motivation. So losing to Detroit, I think was big for us, but it was exciting to see what that was all about. And I think you watch this young team now, I think we've got some veteran leaders there that have been to the top of the mountain and they're playing great. Helping the young guys learn and succeed, and I think the comparison you'd make is having those young guys sort of grow up together and how we did it, because we had all those guys in 2008 and then 2009, and we were able to build and grow as a group and just be a team, just be a real good team and be together. So,
okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That 2009 year was really fun. Expectations were low. We added Joel behind the bench that year. Kane and Taves were stud players in the league. And those first few playoff rounds that that core group played together, it was Calgary was the first one, then Vancouver right after. KT, those playoff rounds were like as emotional as I can remember all the playoff rounds that we played in going forward. We had a ton of them. So the feeling in the city afterwards too, Siebes is absolutely right. We were down. We wanted to win, but the reception that we got from the fans was like we won the Stanley Cup. It honestly was. Everybody was high-fiving us in the bars, jumped on the bandwagon, got the Blackhawks jerseys. It was Blackhawks fever all around the city, and that kind of motivated us to get back there again.
It really cued the momentum, just covering it from afar and being a part of it as a broadcaster. I mean, you guys, that's really what kickstarted and got the city back into this Chicago Blackhawks team. They started eat, sleep, breathing by you guys. Sharpie, you probably have a better perspective of my next question. Brent will get there. But at what point, Sharpie, after you retired, did you look back and realize how special it was, what you guys were able to accomplish as a group, winning 3 Stanley Cups with that core group in a city like Chicago, an original six franchise?
Yeah, I just feel like on days like this, when you get to see Siebes on the other side of things now as a retired player, a host of before him, it stung a little bit when I retired to see those guys still playing and having great seasons in the National Hockey League. But as we get older, I think it's going to get more and more special to look back and know that we were on some pretty fun teams to be a part of and really good guys off the ice as well. You just look at the history of the game. You don't really have that happen too often. So I'm thankful that I was a part of it with these guys. And Siebes was there from day one as the big brother on the team, always picking guys up from the hotel. He did that to me when I was 24 years old. He was 18, Catherine, and he was like the big brother to me, taking me to practice on time and showing me around the city. He did that for countless other guys. So congratulations, Siebes, on an awesome career. It's pretty remarkable what you accomplished in that city, pal.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you too. Been a lot of fun. We had a lot of good memories, and it was a great run. I mean, even like you said, I think the announcement was on Friday, and you were in the living room Saturday night, and we were having a beer, and it was already like that's the great thing about having awesome teammates and being a part of a team like that is, you know, you ask how the family's doing, you ask how the kids are doing, and then it's right into hockey. You're like, I remember this, I remember that. What a great memory this was. It was really cool to do this, yada, 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 right? And we sat there and talked for a couple hours just about, you know, old stories and things that, maybe Sharpie remembers or I would remember that one of us maybe forgot or didn't see it the same way. And it's cool to look back and have those conversations with old teammates and whatnot. So
Sharpie, you talk about Brent being a big brother, and it's our producer who reminded me about the moment in 2013, Brent, when, you know, you had to take Jonathan Taves under your wing and kind of get him to calm down a little bit in that series against the Red Wings and ultimately led to the Stanley Cup. What went through your mind at that point with what you needed to do to get your team back together and in particular to get Jonathan Taves to shake things off a little bit, calm down? I mean, what was the message you had for him that night?
I was asked that question by the media in Chicago too last week, and I can't remember what I said to him or what I did. I think I might almost gave him a concussion. I banged him on the head so many times, but I don't know. I don't know what I said. I think it was more like, you know, I think he got out of the penalty box, took a penalty, and then he got out of the penalty box. And I think he skated down the ice and tripped somebody and got another penalty. And then I think he jumped out again and did something out, right? Like it was three right away. Right. And it was, you know, he could just see the frustration. And I think, you know, he was obviously pissed off. It was a huge game, big game for our team. And you know, I think frustration is how you beat teams and how you beat individuals. And could see some frustration in there, but we needed him. He was our best player and arguably one of the best players in the league. And you know, we needed him to be good. And I can't remember what I said to him. It was just a little thing. I mean, we had a great relationship from when he lived with me his first year. I don't know if it was a fatherly swat on the bum, smarten up, or if it was we need you, just calm down, or whatever it was. But it was, you know, just a little moment in time.
And then right after that, he sniped one the next game. KT, he was struggling at that point, Jonathan, to score. He was just getting smothered by, like, the other team's top checking, and that was the main focus for a couple of rounds. And then after that little pep talk from Uncle Siebes, he went out and sniped one the next game. We would win the series in game seven. To me, that's how you'll be remembered in Chicago by the hardcore fans, is that goal in overtime versus the Wings. That's probably, like, the trademark moment of those great Blackhawks teams. And to see your head in the celebration just a little bit higher than everyone else's, you know, making that face, I'll always remember that. That was a huge moment for sure.
Yeah, it was a great moment. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we won that game with like a minute left. You know, but for the personal highlight reel, it was nice. They called a penalty and called the game on the goal back. But it was a fun series. It was a battle. It was a grind. I mean, that whole series was, Detroit played great, and great team, and it was tough. That was a tough series. I remember you guys as forwards were like, "Oh, we got no room out here. Like, can't get going." And you know, for us defensemen, it was tough. They were flying on all cylinders. Those guys were playing great with Datsyuk and Zetterberg and Franzen, and all those guys were just phenomenal. So it was a fun series. It was a hard series. And I think, you know, as I look back a little bit over some of those series and stuff like that, those hard fought wars were the best ones you could ever play in, right? I mean, the Vancouver series, they were wars, and they were always in the second round, and it was, all right, we got two more to go here. And, to get to the top of the mountain. But yeah, the whole thing was fun.
Yeah, I was thinking about the hard ones you guys fought, and of course the Boston Bruins one in Boston. I remember how quickly that game turned around. But you know, one of the big things that we've been talking about all season long too is both of your fellow teammate, a three-time Stanley Cup champion, Patrick Kane, and what he's been doing this year with his team. You know, Brent, you talked about Kirby Doc being out, obviously, and being with you and you guys working together to get back. We know Jonathan Toews is absent right now from the team. Patrick Kane, it feels like, is just carrying this entire team on his shoulders every single night, bringing that energy, taking a different leadership stance than what we've seen from him. I'm curious to get your thoughts, Brent, on, you know, what you've seen of the evolution of Patrick Kane this season, but also you've played with him for so many years. And we're talking like over a decade of playing together, what you've seen from him in the maturation process on the ice as well.
Yeah. He's been incredible. I don't think anybody's been better than him in the league this year and for the last number of years, but you know, just to watch him play, I think he's got a different mindset. He's playing. I saw him dump a puck in the other night. I know Sharpie. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen him dump a puck in. But
he got a back check earlier this year too. I saw that.
Oh yeah, yeah. You got to clip those. Hey, who do I tell to clip those things? Back check. You know, but he's buying into the system, and he's playing well. He's helping these young guys learn. I think, you know, when you have a guy like that. You know, it's so great, and all these young players look up to him. If he's playing the right way and doing a lot of those little things, I think it's going to help our team be better.
Yeah, it's funny how when he says something, it carries a little bit of extra weight these days too. Going back to like those first couple weeks of the season, he came out and mentioned how Jeremy was getting a lot of buy-in from these young guys. And all of a sudden, the tune in Chicago just changes on the head coach. You know, he had some big shoes to fill there, stepping in for Joel. And then I think Jeremy's done some good things, and there's brighter days ahead. But it's nice to see that he's kind of got some space there in Chicago now with that fan base. And I think a lot of it has to do with the leadership of Kaner. He's one of those guys that's bought into how the team needs to play to compete. And it keeps being said all over hockey world these days, if the Hawks get into the playoffs, Kaner's got to be in that top three for the Hart Trophy.
Even if they don't get into the playoffs, wouldn't you agree? I mean, he's still got to be in the conversation.
Yeah, probably. He's got to. He's having a good season. And Hawks have some tough games coming up. They're in the middle of a real difficult point in their schedule. Dallas is on their heels. At some point, they'll get it together. Columbus is right there. So it's not a foregone conclusion that the Hawks are going to get in there. But I like the way they're competing, most of all. And we'll see that it serves up a bright future ahead for those kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if he's at the top of my list for MVP voting, just being able to see what he's done. I mean, I'm not watching all the other games, and I know there's some great players out there having great seasons and whatnot, but what Kaner's been able to do and how he's, you know, leading the charge and taking those young guys. He's playing with Cat quite a bit, and he's got a new centerman every period, or, you know, if the line's struggling a little bit, Jeremy's finding guys to help him, and I think he's been incredible.
So. Well, since we're talking about the playoffs, we're halfway through the regular season, so let's take a look at the Stanley Cup winner odds presented by PointsBet. Tampa is the favorite. I know you guys don't have the list in front of you, and people probably listening at home don't either, but it's Tampa Bay followed by Toronto, Vegas, Colorado, Boston. That rounds out the top group. Top 10 and 15, the Pittsburgh Penguins are in there, the Washington Capitals at plus 2,000. You know, you look at this list, and I guess, Sharpie, I'll start with you. Tampa's the favorite, but who else do you like on this list right now?
I don't have those numbers, but the teams that I like as favorites, to be honest, tough to argue with Tampa. Just watch them play the Hawks three games in a row, and they look like they're ready to go and take another crack at the Stanley Cup. Getting Kucherov back come playoff time will certainly help with that. The team that I can see beating Tampa in a playoff series at this point, we got a lot of hockey to go, is Carolina. I really like how they play. I feel like if I was on the ice against that team today, it would be really tough to play out there. You don't have a lot of time and space with the puck. When it's on your stick, you got to move it because someone's going to come hit you or get in your face right away. And then they found a goaltender there in Nedeljkovic. I like those teams on the eastern side of things. And then when I think about out west, that division stands out. If Colorado can stay healthy and Grubauer becomes the guy that can win playoff rounds, then they're clearly a favorite. Our boy Sauter's there scoring goals, and he'll score a bunch more in the playoffs. But I like Vegas, to be quite honest with you. I liked them last year, and they bowed out to Dallas. I like them again this year. Playoff goals is the question for me there in Vegas. Do they have enough to put the puck in the net?
How about you, Brent? Any Stanley Cup favorites you got on your mind?
I think Sharpie said it pretty good. I think, the teams he mentioned. I think this year, I think the playoffs is going to be wild again, and it's going to be different. And I think it's going to be, it could be a sleeper team. I don't know. It could be anybody. I'm going to be rooting for the Blackhawks to get into the playoffs and put a good showing out there. And, a favorite, I don't know. I think there's a lot of teams that are jockeying around and playing well. And the start of the season, I probably had some favorites. Maybe they're not in the mix right now, or maybe they're struggling a bit, but playoffs are playoffs, and it's going to be fun to watch. I like the Vegas pick. I like Tampa's playing great. I think Toronto can get in there and make some noise. Colorado, like Sharpie said, if they stay healthy, they're going to have a good crack at it. I think it's going to be a fun playoffs to watch.
Well, Sharpie just names every team, so he covers all of his bases. That's what he does. He's got the East and the West. I mean, you guys, you look at the Tampa team. They've been good for a long time now. We saw they ultimately won the Stanley Cup in the bubble situation last fall. But this is a team that you guys were down 2-1 against in 2015, ultimately going on and beating them to win the Stanley Cup. Sharpie, what was it about the comeback against that Tampa team? You know, how did you guys manage to do it?
Honestly, Catherine, at that point, the group in Chicago has played so many playoff rounds. It was like three or four rounds a year for 5 or 6 or 7 years. It just was another battle against a tough team. For me, those two series at the end of 2015 were really tough. Anaheim first in the conference finals and then Tampa in the finals. The speed was noticeable for me from both of those teams. And the Tampa series, we were down, the lack of panic in our locker room was what stood out the most. I remember I had a few mistakes one game, and very similar to what Jonathan did against Detroit, I took back-to-back penalties in the Tampa game in the third period. They scored on the power play on the second one when I was in the box and kind of cost us the game. I think that's why we were down 2-1. And I remember Siebes patting me on the back, kind of just smiling, laughing about it right away after the game. We could just put things behind us back then. Probably an advantage of being on a team that's been through so many battles before.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think that was the big thing about that team. I think we had a little bit of it in 10, and then obviously going into 2013, I think we could feel the pressure from the regular season. But in 15, it seemed like, who cares? You know, like we win a game, we lose a game. It was just like, all right, we got to fly. Were we flying tomorrow? Are we flying today? Whatever, you know, are we playing the next day? It was just, you know, we just knew what we needed to do. And I think that was a big part of our team being able to put things behind us, whether it was a huge overtime win, you know, when the emotions are high, it's like, I think we came in, gave somebody the belt and we were all eaten before you knew it, you know, like on to the next thing. And our panic level was pretty low at that point. And we were just playing hockey. We were just having fun. It was great.
And then you compare that, KT, to the early days in Chicago before we had any Stanley Cup experience. Every time you score a goal, it felt like you're going to win the cup. And every time you're on the ice for a minus, it was, oh, we're done, it's over. So very even keeled by the end of things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You guys played some lengthy series as well. I mean, 2015, two triple overtime games, one against Nashville, one against Anaheim, as I recall. And it seems like, I mean, I don't know how you guys even mustered the strength to get through the next game, but you did, and then you ultimately go on and win. How draining were those games for you guys? I mean, what did you do for recovery? How did you get the strength to go out there and play again, just from a physical standpoint?
I think that was just sort of the mode we were in. I mean, we just did it. You know, Joel always gave us lots of rest. Lots of recovery. I remember we played Minnesota and we swept them in the second round that year in 15. And then we had 10 days off. And I remember, what was it, Sharpie? It was like 2 days off. And then we practiced 2 days in a row. We had 2 days off, practiced one day, flew to Anaheim. And then we had like a 4 o'clock game the next day. We practiced the next day. And then we had a 4 o'clock game and we just got smoked and ran over by Anaheim. They just had a hard fought seven game series. So they played a night or two before and I think we were all still sleeping and then it was on from there. But I just think we were just playing hockey. It was just fun. We just got up and we all did it together as a group, and we had those long flights and we had, you know, long games and we were all together and at the hotel eating and back in Chicago, just preparing for games. The playoffs is weird. It's sort of like a two month game that you're just playing every day, and you're just that's all you're really focused on, and focused on recovery and rest, and you know, driving to the rink, practice, driving home, resting, laying around all day, and just getting prepared. So,
and a lot of Mario Kart, KT. A lot of Mario Kart.
And a lot of bouncing.
That might have been the secret.
Did Sharpie really walk around all the time bouncing tennis balls in between games and whenever he could get his hands on it?
Yeah, that was his pregame thing. He'd be throwing it at people and, you know, he'd be sitting there tying a skate and he'd launch it at you. And if you didn't catch it, it hit you in the face or you weren't ready for it. Like, he was always doing little things like that. He'd have lacrosse balls sometimes. And
Well, now he has his own makeup kit. Things have changed a little bit.
I always had that. Yeah.
Brent, could you have imagined he would have gone into broadcasting? Did you kind of see that path?
I don't know if I saw it. I mean, he's great at it. I think he's done an awesome job. Watching him talk about games and stuff, he's pretty bang on a lot of the time. And you know, him bringing his expertise and what he did for for so many years on the ice and being able to translate that into talking about it and talking about different teams and other players and stuff like that. I think he's doing a great job. And you know, it's sort of, you know, we'd always have hot stoves in the hotel rooms, and seems like he's just got a camera in front of his face instead of me and Duncan.
That's what I miss the most about playing, to be honest with you, big fella. Road games or wherever, getting to the hotel after a game, you know, it's like midnight, yeah. 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're all wired. So I'd always meet up with Dunks and Siebes, and we just hash things out, talk about the Blackhawks inside and out, top to bottom, the state of the team, and we'd have those hot stoves. That's what I miss the most, out of not being on the squad anymore.
Yeah, we had some late nights there too. I remember some of those, it's like 7 a.m, we'd be sitting there. I'm like, we got to go to bed. Like, what are we doing here? But, and then we do the same thing the next night. It's like, we didn't talk about it enough, you know, like what else are we going to talk about? So it was, but it was always great. And, you know, being on the road and having those conversations and those hot stoves and it was fun.
Well, as polished as Sharpie appears on the air, Brent, we're going to have to show you his blooper reel because it's pretty epic too.
Like to see that.
Yeah, we've got some fun moments. Don't worry, we may have to show you. Maybe we'll bring you in studio with a guest appearance and we'll show you the blooper reel we've got on him.
Alrighty.
I want to get to the cold brew check fueled by Duncan, a new Flames head coach, you guys. He recently said that, bottom line, Connor McDavid is head and shoulders the best player in the league. Brian, you played against him a lot defensively, trying to defend this speedy, quick, best player in the league. Do you agree with his comments?
Yeah, I mean, he's a hell of a player. I think, you know, what he's able to do with his speed at a high level. I remember my first game against him, I think it was, we were in Edmonton, and he picked the puck up. And it was a penalty kill. And for some reason, all three of our players were on the boards, and he sort of bellied out. And he was at the far blue line. I was at our blue line. And I literally, once he started picking up speed, I literally turned around and skated as fast as I could towards Corey. And he just beat me to the net, and I had a good angle on him. And he didn't end up scoring. Crow made a good play on it and all that. But he picked up so much speed, and how he's able to do what he's able to do at a high speed is incredible to watch.
I feel like Sutter was saying that because he had to play against him for a couple of games, and maybe he's trying to soften him up a little bit. Tough to say who the best player in the league is. Individual skill, McDavid probably stands above the rest as far as his speed. Now he can, his hands keep up to his legs when he's moving that fast, and the numbers he's putting up this year are incredible. But I've seen awesome things out of Sidney Crosby, Ovechkin, the best goal scorer, you know, Kaner at setting up his teammates. So all across the league, there's great players, but I don't think you're going to get too much of an argument if people are saying McDavid's the best, KT.
All right, that was the cold brew check fueled by Duncan. This season, be sure to grab a cold brew for game time, because where there is hockey, there is Duncan. And, you know, along these lines, Brent, I'm curious to get your thoughts on which player, you know, you would just keep hashing over in your mind if you knew you were going up against him the next night, kept you up at night, trying to figure out ways to maybe, you know, defend against him. Was it an Ovi? Was it a Sid? Who was that one player for you that just always had your mind?
I think for a lot of years there, it was Pavel Datsyuk. I mean, we never saw Sid and Ovi a whole lot, being in the West and then being in the East. We played Detroit quite a bit early in our career, Sharpie. But, you know, watching Datsyuk and what he was able to do, I think he made his teammates better. He was, you know, he could beat you one-on-one. He could close in on you and create some space. He had that counter hit. He used to knock me over a few times. You know, he was just one of those special players, and what he's able to do with the puck, without the puck. You know, I know being a defenseman, you'd get a step on him and he'd strip you from behind. I remember skating as fast as I could away from him a few times and not even knowing if I had the puck or not. And he was just one of those special players. That was tough to play against, for sure.
But I think of Siebes' top matchups, KT, over the years, Dustin Brown comes to mind. He's a winger, played against Siebes all the time. They probably hit each other, I don't know, hundreds of times each in their career. Think of Jerome Iginla on the Flames, being a power forward, matching up against Siebes a lot. But the pair that I think of the most besides Datsyuk would be the Sedin twins. Like, we played Vancouver 3 years in a row in the playoffs. The twins were arguably the top duo. They must have been the top duo back then. I got to go through all the numbers and stuff. But they were top players in the league, and they did damage against anybody. And Dunks and Siebes were on that top pair that faced them a lot. So those are the matchups I think of when I think of Mr. Biscuits out there.
Oh, yeah. The Sedins, they were super tough. It was, I know some nights we got the best of them and some nights they kicked the crap out of us too. And it was, it was one of those battles you had to hit them if you could get them. You'd have to hit them, because if you didn't, like, I remember there was some games I must have done 3 or 4 wind sprints between the two of them, like, you skate at one of them.
You know they're passing it back and forth to each other every time too,
Yeah, you know exactly what they're doing, but it's like you just couldn't figure it out. And you had to almost take one of them out, stick them to the boards and hold them there for 5 seconds so Dunk could come and take the puck from the other one. But yeah, they were just super smart players. They seemed to have that knack where they just, like, they had one mind. They knew where each other was going to be, and they were definitely a tough matchup for sure.
That's awesome. I know we could talk to you forever about all the stories, Brent, and we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again down the road. Before I let you go, all the years in the league, the 3 Stanley Cups, the teammates you've played with, what are you most grateful for with the opportunity to play in the NHL?
I think I'm most grateful for the opportunity in Chicago. I think, getting there as a 20-year-old and being able to make the team and sort of grow with all those players was super special. And in Chicago, it was some tough times there our first couple years, but I was just honored to be in the NHL and being a part of a great franchise and an original 6 team and being able to be there. I think Rocky Wirtz and now Danny, I think they're doing a great job of steering that organization in a great direction and made a lot of great friends there and had a lot of great teammates. And it was just a special time being a part of the Blackhawks organization and being able to pull that sweater on every night.
Very cool. Well, we appreciate you taking the time, Brent. We look forward to hopefully connecting with you down the road. We can probably squeeze you on set, move Sharpie to the side if you'd like to ever come join us. We'll talk about a game. But best of luck to you. Enjoy the retirement and congratulations to you.
Thanks, Steve.
Right, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody listening at home, for joining us for another episode of Our Line Starts, fueled by Dunkin'. We'll see you next time.